You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
You know, for all of us, we face big decisions in life. We want to choose wisely, and I hope that you want to seek God in your decisions. And as you know, as happened with us recently, it's even more difficult when you have to make a choice between good options. You have options before, and you say, well, these are both good options. What should we do? Which way should we go? So I trust in hearing this message today that you will leave knowing how to choose the God option over the good option when you're facing decisions in your life. Because after all, this a difference of just one O can make the difference between you being in the center of God's will and blessing or you just hanging on with his help. So what you need to know today is it good, G-O-O-D, or is it God, G-O-D, when it comes to your personal valleys of decision? Now, I made it easy for you today. In your bulletin, you have your takeaway points where we'll actually spend most of our time. There's no blanks. It's all written there for you. So you could just use it either today or in the future as a resource so you can just kind of listen along. Let's go through these. You have in your bulletin 10 ways to recognize how God is leading you in your life. And obviously, as you might imagine, these are 10 things that we've been through just recently here. And the first one is this: if the Bible gives a clear answer to your decision, stop right there. I say it this way: just obey. There's no need to pray. Come on, repeat it with me. Just obey. There's no need to pray. If the Bible gives you a clear answer on a decision you're making, you just need to take God at his word and trust him to do what he's going to do. That's the center of his will. And you wonder, well, what does that mean, you know, Pastor Dan, in my life? Well, I thought of one example. Actually, the Spirit of God wants me to share this example, and it's probably going to rub some people the wrong way, but I do desire to be faithful. And that is this whole area of cohabitation, of living together before marriage. Now, I know it's become a very cultural norm in our world, but we as Christ followers are called to be different. It's not what his word advises. What his word tells us is that that's not right before marriage. So if we want to live in the center of his will and of his blessing, then we want to obey. There's no need to pray. As a matter of fact, the fact is that couples that do cohabitate have a higher divorce rate anyway. Why is that? Well, it's because God said not to do it. See, God isn't out for rules of do's and don'ts. He's out for our good. So that's why his word encourages us, right, to be married and then live together and have our intimate relationship with our spouse, because he knows what's good for us. The facts prove that. Number two, spend time praying about the decision and listen for God's answers. I would quantify that with this: God will always answer in accordance with his word. So this is why you hear again, it's so important to be a personal student of God's word. Pastor and marriage counselor Jimmy Evans says it this way, I love this: God isn't obligated to chase us down and talk to us. We're obligated to slow down and listen to him. That's what we want to be about if we want to know God's will and plan for our lives. Number three, if you're seeking God in these ways and you're still unclear, consider a time of fasting. What does that mean, just for those who might not be familiar? Well, yes, it's giving up food. That's one way to fast. You can give up also what you love most. I know sometimes when we go into a period of fasting, my wife fasts Facebook, because that can be a distraction at times. So there are other ways you can fast. The point is not just giving something up. The point is filling that time with additional prayer. Filling that time where you would have otherwise done that activity or enjoyed that thing, so that you can seek God even more and hear from him. in the book of Joel that we'll be in today, chapter 1 and verse 14. It kind of opens this way because the entire book is a call to the nation of Israel to return back to God. The entire book is about how God is judging Israel through their enemies at the time, but it's also full of his grace because it's full of promises for the future of how God will judge the enemies of Israel that he used to judge Israel and how he'll restore them someday. And so it opens this way in chapter 1 and verse 14. Joel is told to tell the people, declare a holy fast, because Israel was wicked at that time. You know, and so that's one way to fast and pray. If God is trying to work something out of our lives that is not pleasing to him. But another reason to do so is just kind of clear our spiritual ears, so to speak, so that we can hear him better. But I don't want to forget this, because there might be some in person or online this morning that maybe you're in a valley of decision because of a poor choice. Maybe you're in a valley of decision because of a disobedient choice to God. If that's you, I want to encourage you this morning to take this instruction to heart, because responding to God's correction and being humble before him is exactly what allows you to hear his voice. See, as long as you stay in that place and you stay holding on to that thing that you know that God wants you to let go of, you stay in a place where you're hearing your own voice more than God's voice sometimes. And so I want you to take that to heart today. Number four, be open to the leading and guiding of God's Spirit living in you. Again, in the book of Joel, as kind of the, it's only a 3 or 4 chapter book, but as it turns to the positive, to God's restoration. And it says in Joel 2, 28 and 29, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. You know what the great news is today? We live in the afterward. Those words were given thousands of years ago, and of course, and many of you know this, in Acts chapter 2, the afterword begins. We live in the age of the afterword. We live in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, in those days. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And so you can rely on his Holy Spirit as he leads and guides you. But I remember Pastor Paul said this a few weeks ago, and I want to highlight it again. We can't expect God to use us in great things if we don't get to know obedience to his Spirit in the little things, in the little matters, and step by step. I thought of this analogy. Maybe somebody's trusting God to own a home someday, and you're living in an apartment, but your apartment's a disaster. Are you ready to own a home? Are you ready for that big blessing that God may very well want to give you? You see, we learn to be faithful and obedient in the little things, and then God moves us on to the bigger ones. You see, being Spirit-led means taking time to ultimately invest in our relationship with Jesus. Now, those are, one more here, number five, and this one was critical for us. When we faced our recent valley of decision, both of our options were very good. And I might add, I say both once we got to that place, but really all three of our options were very good, one of them being stay here. Let me just clarify that. All of our options were very good, but one ultimately gave us more internal peace than the others. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace rule of Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This was critical for us. And I know for somebody listening today in a valley of decision, don't miss that one. Pay attention. It's very telling with how God is leading you in your life. Now, for the final 10, I'll kind of switch back to some practical things and go through them more. The final five, sorry. Some of you are panicking. Number six. If one of your options is clearly a better decision in terms of your God-given talents, abilities, and experience, that may very well highlight the way. God has designed you for a unique purpose, for a special plan, and if it fits in line with who he made you to be and the experience you had, it very well may highlight the plan. However, sometimes God will call us to do things that we're not comfortable with doing. Sometimes his spirit will say, my grace is sufficient for you. Just step out and I'll give you everything you need. But for the most part, number six is pretty telling. Number seven as well. Think about how God has led you in the past. I learned this from a recent devotional I read called Blueprint for Life that during this season has really been speaking to me personally, and I've been using that one. It said this, think about how God has led you in the past, because a pattern may actually be an indication as to which way to go now. It might confirm who he's made you to be and which way you should go. And I agree with that, but I would also quantify with this once again. You got to be open to the Spirit's leading. We're Pentecostal people. Sometimes the Lord will just lead us totally outside of where we're comfortable and what we know best. But for the most part, that would be very highlighting God's way in your life. Number eight, consider the circumstances surrounding your decision. Which of your choices best satisfies your desire for change? Number nine, discuss, and let me add, do that prayerfully, of course. Number nine, discuss your choices with a few trusted, godly advisors after you've taken adequate time to seek God first. Proverbs 11:14 says, many advisors make victory sure. Now, there's one particular advisor that I spoke to towards the end here of our decision when we had to make a choice because it was a very unique situation in that this individual knew both ministries that were giving us a future opportunity. And he certainly was a wise voice in our life and in our decision. But what I want to highlight is this. What I've learned is 9 times out of 10, God will speak something to your heart, and he'll use other people to confirm what he's already showed you. You see, because I'm afraid that sometimes we get it the other way around because, quite frankly, we don't want to invest the time seeking God, praying, hearing from him, waiting. It takes a lot of waiting sometimes to hear God's voice, and sometimes we get impatient. We don't want to hear it. We jump on YouTube or Facebook, and we're trying, God, where's your voice? Scrolling through stuff, and he's just waiting for us to sit down and be alone with him. And so we have to remember this. We can't look to other people or even the pastoral staff to tell us what God's will is. No, God wants to speak to our hearts first, and then he'll begin to confirm, as was the case with us recently, he will confirm what he's doing, and then it will give you confidence to take that step. But once you have those trusted advisors in your life, and you really only need a few, and they better be godly and know Jesus pretty well if you want to make good decisions, I'll tell you that much. But once you have that, allow them to speak into your lives in terms of what's the best choice for you personally. Because these are going to be people who really know you, how God's designed you, how he's wired you. And so as a result, they could speak openly and say, that's a good idea, that's not a good idea, because I know you, right? Don't we need to have those people in our lives? And the last one is this. I'm glad to say that I don't think this time around this was an issue for me, but I remember when I was a young adult, this was really a problem for me. Because I knew I was called to ministry, but I didn't know which step to take for a long period of time, actually. And so number 10, if your desire to know the will of God has trumped your desire to know God himself, then it's time to admit that and start again. You see, because if you will remain confused if your relationship with Jesus is not your first priority. We don't want to make God's will God, right? We want to be careful of that. Like I said, as a young adult, I was guilty. When I was in college, I was guilty of this. I was so obsessed with, you know, and part of that's just trying to figure out what you're doing with your life. But there was a period where I was obsessed with God's will, and I fear that I made it a God for a period of time. No, we need to serve God himself and hear from him. He'll speak to us and lead us as to what his will is. So we need to get close to Jesus in order to do that. Now, God's will for you is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I'm not trying to make this oversimplified. I know there's decisions in life, but God's will in terms of how you approach these decisions, how your heart and my heart is dealing with these decisions, is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You see, you might be in a great season right now. You might be in a good season. Maybe you're in a God season. Maybe you're in a bad season. Maybe you're at a place where you're facing a valley of decision. Maybe you're just in a season of trial. I know this, wherever you are, we can choose to be thankful, knowing that God is definitely working out his will for those who trust in him and for those who truly seek him. Amen. Amen. Worship team, would you come and join me here on the platform? You see, we can choose to be thankful for what we do have instead of focusing on what we don't have, right? We can choose to be thankful for what God is doing as opposed to being upset about what he's not because of our own personal desires. We've spoken of my family's valley of decision and given you some practical takeaways for how to respond to yours. But I've saved the best for last. You see, in Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, this is the valley of decision. It says this, just one verse, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." You see, that valley that was referenced there, the valley of Jehoshaphat, means the Lord judges. It was a way that God was saying he would eventually judge the enemies of Israel. And that has happened and will happen someday when Christ returns again. That's a whole nother sermon. We don't have time for that this morning. And that's not the point. You guys can go ahead. The point is this. Throughout the book, Israel's encouraged and warned to return back to God so that they can witness his blessing, so that they can experience his deliverance, so that they can receive his providence and his salvation. And again, in Joel in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says this in a book of the Bible, but the Holy Spirit of God is saying this to each one of us today. "Even now," declares the Lord, "return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." And so whether you're listening to me this morning here or online, I encourage you, if you've known Jesus at one point in your life and you're at a place now where you're at a valley of decision because you know you've turned your back on him. I'm not talking about mistakes. We all make mistakes. I'm talking about what's the condition of your heart right now in this valley of decision that the Holy Spirit has placed before us. Is your heart for God, or if you're honest, has it grown cold? The great news is this, is Jesus is ready to forgive. He's ready to restore, just like he was for the nation of Israel. All he's saying is return. Come back to me with all your heart. Don't hold on to all that guilt and try to figure it out yourself. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to heal. He's ready to restore. And as a matter of fact, we will celebrate that momentarily in communion this morning. But if you will respond to him in faith, he will restore you in a moment's notice. Now, maybe for someone this morning, you've never known what it is to follow Jesus. You're in a valley of decision as well. Now, I could tell you the simple form of the gospel is Jesus took your punishment that you deserved and I deserved for wrongdoing so that God didn't have to punish us. And as a result, a simple belief in what he did and confession of who he is makes you right with God. It's a simple gospel right there. And so if that's you this morning, I'd encourage you to respond as well.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.